All right, let's get started. Hi, everybody from the Dana Hills High School Class of 1993. This is Sean Weehan, your longstanding senior class president. Appreciate you tuning in to listen to our audio cast in preparation for our 30th reunion at Lux Restaurant, Saturday night, June 24th, 6:30 p.m. start. Recently, I had the opportunity to interview a few of our classmates in preparation for the reunion to get their thoughts about being out of high school for 30 years. What they've been up to, some of the lessons learned, and what they're looking forward to, shall I say it, as we head into life beyond 50 years old. But here's the thing, we aren't 50 yet, and we're going to have a great time on Saturday night. So enjoy the audio cast, and we'll see you beginning at 6:30 at Lux. Here we go.
This is John Portillo, class of 93, Dana Hills High School.
Hi, guys. It's Laura Oberhelman.
And we also have Shannon Cox.
Scott Coyle, class of 93. Who I am.
Well, my name has always been Mandana, but I went by Mandy, you know, throughout my childhood. And when I went away to college, I started using Mandana, and it just has felt like more of a grown-up name. So, and also, you know, I feel a little bit of sensitivity around like the whitewashing of my Iranian half.
Okay.
You know, when you're Mandy, you know, it sort of hides that. And so I kind of felt the need to like assert like, hey, I'm not just Mandy, I'm also Mandana. Mm-hmm.
So a little bit of owning your heritage, of owning your background.
Yeah.
And your name is part of that.
Yeah.
So tell us the full name, the full Iranian, your full name.
Mandana Tofiq Tar.
When you think about growing up in the 80s and the 90s, and then knowing the way the world is today, what do you think about that era of when we grew up?
I think that looking back now, that being like a child of the 80s and 90s was the most magical time to grow up that I wish I appreciated at the time. Even my kids today say they wish they grew up at that time when they didn't have to worry about Snapchat and their cell phones and the people knowing where they are all the time.
That learning of independence, of having freedom, like, you know, your parents not knowing where you were all the time, your friends not knowing where you were all the time. It's just, you know, being able to enjoy high school. And, you know, I have two jobs, and one of my jobs is being a teacher. So I experience teenage life every single day. And seeing how traumatized kids are about, you know, the reflection of themselves on social media, all that. And I was like, you know, high school was fun for me, and there were hard times too, but no one was beating me up over it after I went home that day.
You know, the things we had to do to entertain ourselves, or just the idea of, remember the cassette tapes, you know, when they would get stuck and we'd have to use a pencil to roll them back in, or you're able to break the law in ways that you can't anymore because there were no cameras then. Not that we broke the law, but there were a lot of things that we did like to do that maybe you would be able to get away with these days.
You know, I think we're fortunate enough to have grown up with a group of friends that were, for the most part, on the straight and narrow and doing the right thing. You know, my parents got divorced and my dad traveled a lot. And so I never had a curfew. I was, you know, if I was out on a weeknight with friends or something like that, you know, my mom or dad, you know, knew that I was in good hands. And
you don't really appreciate that until you move away from Orange County. And realize that, like, hey, I had it pretty good, right? I went to Dana Hills, I went to Nagel Hills. I was like 2 miles from the beach. I hit the jackpot as far as family is concerned. And so I have a great family. And so two little sisters who are both married now and have a kid each, and great parents. So So yeah, so I look back on the 80s as a fantastic time. Plus I got to say totally rad and bitching all the time.
I think about how big our high school was, how many people there were and how undersized the facility was, and how I felt like I moved from like several different cliques. You know, I interacted with different groups of people, and also I felt like a lot of people knew me, but I didn't know some of them, you know. Or I've been looking at registrations for this and going, who is that? You know, like, I don't remember a lot of these people. I feel like I should be studying my yearbook, but I don't know. I think about the clubs and the sports and certain teachers, you know, really memorable teachers and how they were and stuff like that.
I was in choir. I was president of the jazz choir. I was vice president of madrigal choir. I was way into the choir, right? And all my, and the friends who I still keep in touch with from high school were all in choir. And so we were really tight. We got to go on some great trips, some great competitions, and we kicked butt too, so that didn't suck.
Do you still sing?
In the car and the shower exclusively, I sing.
You know, and there's that short list of people and you know, those friendships that you have in high school, and you know, even past, you know, college and people moving away, you know, you know, between folks like Greg Rowe and Megan Donnelly, you know, those are, you know, I haven't seen them a lot, but, you know, we still talk when we can, and, you know, two of my best friends, and, you know, I love them dearly.
Yeah. Just a general memory of just all the people there and all the classmates and all the, you know, different groupings of people, and everybody seemed to still get along really well. And kind of what a magical time of my life that was in high school. So
it's super surprising to me that I work for a private real estate firm as an asset manager and I live in Excel. I never would have thought.
Spent all day long in Excel trying to move numbers around. And
yeah, I had no idea that I would, you know, have a comfort with math. The math that we were taught in high school was almost completely useless to everyday life or finance or anything like that. So it's amazing to me that, you know, I made that bridge, especially considering I went through social work first. And that was my first career, was HIV prevention, counseling, testing, and case management. And then I was like, I just had a big shift and I became a real estate appraiser. And then now I work for a real estate investment firm.
I think actually becoming a teacher was a mind blower to me. Like, that was like, you know, get me away from education as fast as you can. And so I tell that to my students, like, you know, you think, oh, some of you really love it. That's just part of you. But I have a lot of students during the middle school age that are just like, oh man, I hate school. Like, when can I get out of here? And that was, I didn't hate school, but I wasn't in love with it. I wasn't like, yay, let me do this the rest of my life. So honestly, I think that would be my biggest shocker, is that I really love it and I enjoy it. And I would have never thought that.
I actually got promoted into a career experience while I was, while the pandemic was going on, and I ended up being business lead over four Apple stores, the business teams at four Apple stores. And so, and I loved it. I absolutely loved it. And so that's what I was doing when I came back to the store. But it was temporary, right? It was what Apple calls a career experience. So I'm back being an account manager. But the pandemic, I mean, I got a new place, right? I moved, I got, you know, it was an okay time for me in terms of just not what was going on in the world, but like my own life.
I've lived in Chicago now for longer than I would lived in Orange County. I actually left Orange County the day of the 5-year reunion. I went down to Doheny. We had that little gathering. And somebody said, what are you up to today? And I said, well, when I leave here, I'm getting in a moving van and I'm moving to Chicago. And, you know, it's kind of an opportunity. I was working for a Xerox at the time and I was getting paid to move back there for a job, and I'm no longer with them, but I stayed in Chicago. It's a great, I'm in the burbs. I'm not downtown or anything like that, but it's definitely been a different environment and a, you know, new circle of friends and stuff like that. And like I said, that was 25 years ago now, if this is our 30th and I moved in our fifth. Yeah.
The one thing that I didn't realize would happen would be that the behaviors that start out seemingly just fun, that over periods of time are not transferable to adulthood or health or a good life, to where they may seem cool or fun while we're young, while we're indestructible, but that those things aren't cool anymore in your late 40s, you know, and how having to start to grapple with the idea that, like, hey, like, bad things do happen to people, and it's not all roses and unicorns all the time, although there are moments of that, you know, life does continue to go on, and that hardships do occur, or addictions do occur, or loss occurs. And I think that that was not something in my high school years that I was even really truly aware of. Intellectually, we all know from maybe watching films or hearing about it, but to actually experience what loss is like, or what addiction is like, or what divorce can be like. I mean, all these things can be quite eye-opening, that once we move past the magical time of high school, life really starts to happen in ways that have real consequences. And I found that to be a surprise, as funny as that may sound.
So I have been sober now for 8 years. I stopped drinking and partying like 8 years ago, almost 9. And I think what has surprised me the most was that I just sort of carried on thinking that, I was invincible, and thinking that, you know, my actions didn't have reactions, right? My actions didn't have consequences. My actions didn't affect anybody but me. And so I think what surprised me most was to find out that that was how I was living my life, right? That I was living in an alternate reality, you know? And so, you know, I see life as life is now. And it's pretty cool. It can be hard, right? Be difficult, but it's pretty cool.
Well, I've been married for a little over 5 years now. The woman I married, Robin, she's got 2 beautiful girls. So I kind of went from being a bachelor to being married with 2 kids, and both girls. One's a freshman in college and one's a sophomore in college. And I enjoy my life. I enjoy, you know, my circle of friends and stuff that I do, like spending time with family, when I can travel for different events. I enjoy racing and stuff like that. So, there's quite a few events and stuff like that around Chicago to go out to and stuff like that. So,
Joy would be my horse and riding, and just being out in the nature out here in Idaho. It's just much more accessible. And being of service. Those are, like, you know, personal and then in community. And then challenges would be parenting, really. Like, my kids are not like me in many ways. And the things that I just would expect or do on my own, it takes nagging and pleading and yelling and screaming, and it's just so frustrating. So I don't know.
Number one, I'm finding joy in the Lord. Yep.
That's great.
Jesus Christ is the one. I knew that all along during high school, a lot of people, you know, was kind of like, oh, don't ask Shannon to do that because, you know, she's prim and proper. And I didn't always follow the rules, but for the most part, that kind of was my guide. When I got into college, I kind of was just doing my own thing, like, whatever, I can do what I want. And you know what? I crashed and burned on that at the end of my late 20s. And I had to kind of start all over, like, yeah, you're not doing this right. So I'd have to say, you know, Jesus has been my number one joy. And then my husband, I met my husband after I rearranged myself and made Christ my priority. And he has been the most amazing blessing, and he's just my partner in everything I do. So he's been fantastic. And we actually don't have any children, but we have four godchildren. So we spend lots of time with them, and we feel like we really are putting forth a lot into their lives and helping bring them up.
Probably watching my children grow up has been really exciting to watch, because they're entering their teen years. I get to learn all the new lingo about, you know, hey, that's straight cap. Or, hey, I can't even think of all of the new words these kids are coming up with, but I don't actually use them because I think that's considered somewhat pathetic. If us middle-aged people try to use teenage lingo, because we used to see those people when we were in high school, we'd be like, oh my gosh, you gotta be kidding me. So, but watching my kids grow up has been amazing. And even just being able to like rebuild my own career, finishing up a master's degree and starting to practice and doing all that stuff and helping people has been really good. So
I just got engaged. Thank you. I managed to make it to 48 without marriage or kids. And I was just kind of doing me. It's true what they say. When you least expect it, you meet the right one. And we knew. So he's a wonderful man. He's fantastic. And both of our parents share the same anniversary. And we are going to get married on that date.
What date is that? That's amazing.
December 28th.
December 28th. And both your parents have that date.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. And I mean, I'm not trying to be a bummer, but my mom, I just lost my mom. So my mom just died this year. And that was big for me because I'd never lost anyone that close to me before ever. But you know, he was there for me through the whole thing. So it's extra special, you know, that we're doing it this year. Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Well, my stepfather died in 2000 and he was only 44. And then my father died in 2008, 3 weeks before my second child was born. So those were pretty significant. But in the recent past, I mean, nobody super close to me, just a lot of like Baha'i friends in my faith community and people that I served with closely. There were several in a row that it just got to the point where I couldn't even take another funeral. Mm-hmm. And in fact, when I come this week for the reunion, I'm going to actually do like a cemetery tour. Like, it sounds macabre, but I'm going to visit several places to, you know, honor and just pay my respects. Because somebody passed away recently that I was actually able to zoom into their funeral, but I'm going to go by there and visit their grave and stuff. So,
you know, I'm lucky enough, you know, as of this moment, my mom's in pretty good health. My dad's kind of struggling right now. He's been dealing with a couple of different types of cancer in the last like 5 years. You know, so he's not, you know, it's, that's probably going to be the toughest thing for me is, you know, in the next year or two. You know, right now we're kind of dealing with, you know, the things of like what to do with his house and, you know, things he has and, you know, cause he's in Texas for care, puts him right by MD Anderson, which is a big teaching hospital and stuff like that. So, that's been good for him. And we also have family down there. So he's living with his sister, And you know, he's got somebody around and somebody to talk to. So, I mean, really, I think the toughest part for me is to come in the next, you know, couple years.
Now you have to really make a plan about what is the next step when they aren't able to take care of themselves, and, you know, who's going to do what, and how are we financially supporting them, and things of that sort. So I try not to make it like way heavy on me, but I also am a planner. And so I am talking to my siblings, you know, thank God I do have siblings that we can kind of work together to make these plans with them. But, yeah, that part is hard, but also remembering that I'm still in my 40s. I love your tagline, you know what, because we're not 50 yet. And that we do have a lot of life to live. And if you have been holding back, now is the time. Don't wait and wait and wait until you can't do things because you're too old. Like, go do it. Because you don't know what life's going to bring, and we certainly don't know what's going to happen in this world anytime soon. So go do it.
No, here's the thing, right? Like, there's been quite a, you know, it hasn't just been lost. Like, you know, I've lost a parent, you know, lost marriage, lost, you know, lost career, lost my innocence. No, just kidding. That happened a long time ago. You know, but the thing about loss has been, is that it's been giving my life meaning, in that because this does not go on forever, that those moments that we do have, or that I do have, I've got to really be present for them, because it's not like this is just, you know, I'm not going to live forever, right? And eventually, you know, my life will come to an end, and I do not want to be squandering it around or squandering it away because I'm not present, or I'm stuck in my phone, or I'm thinking about other things. And so even though loss has this connotation of it being, well, not, it's not fun. I mean, loss is not fun, but without loss, I don't think my life would have the meaning that it has, because it's given me a very deep appreciation for the people that I do have in my life, and for the people that, you know, that I love and that love me. Because without an end, it would just be like, eventually it wouldn't have any meaning, wouldn't have purpose. Strange as that may sound.
I'm excited to get to, I guess, just the next chapter. You know, like I said, I've got kids in college, and so they're kind of away, and you know, it's an opportunity. I've driven to swim meets at 5:30 in the morning on a Saturday or Sunday. I've done, you know, I've drove the dad bus for, you know, 4.5 years to various events and stuff like that. So I think now it's going to be, you know, kind of circling back and giving me and Robin an opportunity to do stuff that we enjoy and for us, and, you know, getting ready for that next generation to, you know, come around in probably the next, you know, 10 or 15 years, to where, you know, there's going to be grandkids to be visiting and stuff like that.
But we want to travel. Neither one of us has children. So we want, there are so many places. We want to go to Italy. We want to go to Egypt. We want to go, I mean, we want to go to, there's a whole list, right? We want to see the world. And so I'm really excited about that too. I am currently, I live in Pomona right now, and, P-Town. And so, he has a house in Atwater Village. And so I'm going to be moving to Los Angeles. And so I'm like actively looking for jobs. And it's kind of a weird position to be in, because my employer knows, because they know I'm engaged and I'm moving. So, and I'm not going to drive an hour and a half every day to work at the Apple store. It's not going to happen. So, so I'm out there looking, at communications positions. I'm looking at, sales positions. I'm looking at, so I'm kind of, you know, I already reinvented myself once in life. And so now I guess I'm kind of doing it again, possibly. So
probably seeing what my kids become, and seeing what my husband does with his life, and, you know, in retirement, seeing what happens in the world. Hopefully things get better. although I feel like they're going to get worse before they get better. But yeah, probably mostly just seeing how my kids live their lives.
I plan to retire in 3 years and do photography full time. So my husband has always done our business full time and I've been part time. So I only have one job in the summer, which has been nice. And that's probably one of the big things I'm looking forward to is, you know, doing the next chapter very soon. In the next 10 years, you know, the early part of it in order to do that. And we have some travel plans coming up this next year, but a big portion of that is going to be doing destination weddings and things like that as part of our business venture. So I am looking forward to those things and that new journey.
You know, Sean, part of me wants to move back to California. Crazy as that is, right? My kids will be grown up, probably be a granddaddy. I hope I still have my hair. The only thing I got going for me right now, man. Just kidding. But it's not bad. I think, gosh, that's a great question. I mean, you know, the interesting thing is that, you know, my body hurts a little more when I do crazy things, you know? But at the same time, I want to stay active, right? Because over time, I mean, like, I don't know, we just can't do the same things. And I don't know what my life will look like 20 years from now. I don't even know what the world's going to look like 20 years from now. I don't know what the world's going to look like 2 years from now, to be honest. I don't know. And, but I can tell you this. That in my life and until then, I have created some magnificent friendships. I have great kids, great family, and great people. And that's not going to change. And even the people that I've stayed in contact with from Dana Hills High School and in high school, it's been 30 years. And I know when I see them at the reunion, it'll be like I just saw them yesterday. And, you know, even a friendship like ours that we've had for so long or other friends I've had, those will remain even in the context of some sort of shifts and craziness in the world. And, you know, to me, relationships are, you know, that's where the juice and the meat of life exists, is in relationships with others. So that's where I see it. I see better relationships. And a lot of people just say, what did you say? Would you speak up? Hey, would you turn the radio down so I can see better? That type of thing. Yeah.